This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call to get on the air with us with whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
It's Ian.
And I'd like to tell you about Dash. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. Digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash instead with some handy websites. BitRefill.com has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCard.
And you've used BitRefill, have you not?
Yes, I love BitRefill. I've used it for restaurants, like online clothing stores.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even have to be online, but I live in Keene, so I usually order clothes online. I just smacked my microphone just now. Mm-hmm. Then. And
Very
I've
handy.
Ordered things like furniture there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, many of their gift cards are available at a discount. What about paying your bills? Spritzfinance.com can do
nope,
that.
That's not what it is.
Oh, sorry. Spritz.finance.
Mm-hmm.
Can do that, and they can send dollars to your bank account in case you still need those for some reason. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. Dash.org.
Indeed.
So, in the last segment, we were talking about civil asset forfeiture. Cops taking cars and money from people just on a suspicion that they committed a crime or
yep.
have committed a crime. Not any type of proof necessary.
No arrest. No charges.
And basically, the judges of the Sixth Circuit Court over where Detroit is, have decided that the cops need to at least give people the opportunity to challenge it, so they need to be quicker with giving them hearings.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's slight good news.
Yeah, they moved it up from an unlimited amount of time to apparently 2 weeks.
But this is an open phones call-in radio show, so I'm going to go to you guys' calls and thoughts. Jet, you're on the air with us. Jet, what's on your
mind? Yeah, you were talking about cops, and I have a certain feeling about that. Now, I understand that my father was a police detective, and my first stint in the military, I was actually part of the auxiliary police. But my perspective on that is that these individuals have either a character behavior disorder of some sort that allows them to be really nice and friendly on the one side, but if under certain circumstances, they could be like a mad dog.
Yep. I know exactly what it is, too. It's the idea of the fact that they believe that there is such thing as human authority over another. So they have, and I've noticed this in my own dad, who I love. Like, I have the best dad ever. But I've noticed this in my own dad, that he can flip back and forth from being, well, he just is a nice person. He's a really nice person. Everybody likes him. Like, he's always super popular. He's really social. And the thing is, it's because he has this belief in human authority from being in the military. So he believes that there are people above him that he should be subservient to, and then there are people below him that he should be able to yell at. I've watched my own dad, who I've never seen act like this in my life, just get out of the car and go and yell at somebody on a military base. Like, I wasn't expecting that at all, just because he was mad because the guy was, like, talking on the phone while walking on the base, which you're not supposed to do, and it was like a underling soldier. And it's just this personality disorder that develops when you believe, oh, there are people that can tell me what to do, so I gotta act subservient. But because of that, I have people under me that I can control. And that's what cops believe in, too, hierarchy.
Well, I wonder how old that that adage is, that power corrupts. I mean, how old
that's
is
an old
that?
One. When did it... I don't know. I'll look it up for you.
Wasn't it Adam Weishaupt or something?
It's probably been said by a bunch of different people over time.
Francis Bacon, something like that. I can't remember now.
In either event, you know, my feeling also about using the term government, I listen to you pretty much as I can, and I've got to say that they're only people, bad people, people who, you know, have this behavior, character behavior disorder, people who somehow just are influenced by evil forces, whatever you want to think about it. But those are the only people, it seems, that, well, primarily. I know there are a few small, very small number of people who actually are in it for someone else's good for however time, but the whole concept of this thing we call government is just bogus.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is just human beings using the threat of violence over other human beings and then covering it up with all this pomp and circumstance of badges and uniforms and cars and constitutions.
Yeah, well, isn't that what I'm saying? That to believe that you are a part of this realm, to believe that you have these powers, there's something awfully wrong with your thinking. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's what I had today.
Well, here is the answer to your question. The quote that you guys are referring to is, "Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." It is Lord Acton who said that. And
I tried to memorize that once. That's why the word Adam was the only thing coming to my mind.
He was from the Parliament over in the UK, and served in Parliament in the 1860s. So sometime in the 1800s was when that one came about.
So can I ask you, Jet? Was your dad to you just a bad person? Was he a bad person altogether? Or was he usually being a pretty good person, but he could do bad things?
Well, I tend to want to think that he was a good guy, but I have to know that in that profession, you've got to be that way. Now, for the most part, he was a tough guy. He was in World War I and World War II and a policeman in between. Mm-hmm. So he had a lot of that indoctrination and a lot of experience, I guess, ruling over other people. Now, as far as his home life, he was pretty tough at home. I mean, he wasn't as bad as some, but pretty strict. And you gotta watch it, what you said and what you did. Otherwise, you'd be in for a world of hurt.
Okay, well, thank you so much for answering.
Thanks,
and
Jet.
Thank you for your call, Jet. I'm going to try to remember throughout the show to say government less and say thugs and lunatics and killers and gang members more. So thanks. Going on, we have more callers on the line holding, so I'm going to go to an anonymous caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Yes, I had a question regarding something I believe I heard before you guys went to commercial. You were talking about morality, and you said your father was a medic, or did I mishear that?
Yeah, he was a medic in the Army.
Oh, okay. I was confused as to whether or not you had meant an EMT or not. And you guys were talking about the morality of being in a position. You have the belief that all police officers are bad. Am I correct in assuming that, or am I being presumptuous?
That is Bonnie's belief. I did not say that.
Yeah, they're being
okay, bad
people while they're doing those jobs. That's not to say they can't change. Yes, that's what my belief is.
Now, do you believe your father was a bad person for being a medic in the Army?
Yeah, I think he was being a bad person the whole time he was doing that.
Can you elaborate on why you think that?
Because he knew that 9/11 wasn't what they said that It was, and you went to Iraq anyway.
In response to 9/11? Now, you saying he knew, what did he know about 9/11?
He knew that they were lying about the official story and that these people weren't, you know, guilty of killing people on 9/11, and he was just going over there assisting. No, he wasn't shooting people, but he was assisting in, you know, destroying somebody else's country.
Now, for an individual that, let's assume that what you're saying is correct, right, that they were lying about 9/11. Now, removing that, do you think an individual who did have the belief set that there were terrorists attacking the United States and they wanted to go and fight for their country? Because I had relatives who were in high school at the time who immediately enlisted as soon as 9/11 had happened because they believed America was under attack. Now, do you believe individuals that go to defend their nation at a point like that are bad people?
Yes, because your question is flawed already. You asked me if those types of people would be wrong for going to defend their nation. That's not what the word defend means. Defense means I am in immediate threat and I'm going to take up arms or do whatever to stop the threat from hurting me or my friends and family or just a random person on the street you see who's about to get harmed. It doesn't mean that a building was bombed or, you know, ran into in New York City. So a couple years later, you're going to go into the country of origin of some of the flyers. Well, I don't think they're Iraqis, but whatever. Yep. We're going to go into the Middle East because those people were Muslims and kill a bunch of other random people or take over their country. That is not defense. That's not what that word means.
That's true.
So the argument would be, so the reason for invading Iraq, to my understanding, was because they believed that Iraq had supported Al-Qaeda, at least to some degree.
And there was lies about weapons of mass destruction and all kinds of nonsense.
Well, sure, but I'm trying to get to the morality standpoint of it. Now, if these individuals had come from Iraq, and we had a good understanding that they did, and they had already knocked buildings into the ground and destroyed the Pentagon and killed people in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, do you not think it would be justified to take military action against the nation who posed the threat?
Absolutely I do not think that's justified, no.
No, there's no justification for that, and I'll elaborate on it because there's a difference between the individuals who committed a crime, which is what you're describing, is a criminal act, and the people of a quote-unquote nation, which is nothing more than a concept. These are just people who have absolutely nothing to do whatsoever with the crime that was committed. The people who committed that crime paid for it instantly in that they perished. And so if you can identify other individuals who were involved in helping those people somehow commit those acts, then it would be one thing to say persecute those individuals, but to go and drop bombs and kill people in some other plot of land, I agree with Bonnie, is not defense in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. Well, one last question, because I'm just trying to prod the morality standpoint of it. So if, for example, Iraq, Iran, any country on this planet, say their states, their governments, were supporting this kind of thing and were funding individuals to come over here and commit acts of terrorism, would you think it would be a good idea at that point to take action against that state, believing that they were responsible for these actions?
No.
I think it would be okay to take action against the politician who was doing something like that, but just the random people?
Well, here's the reason why it's not okay, because the military is funded through violence. And so even if you could make a justification for targeting specific individual politicians and other places on Earth with the military, you're still funding that military action by using the threat of violence against peaceful people here in the United States
who may not agree with
warmongering actions.
But let's say that it wasn't tax-funded. Let's just say that there was...
It was mercenaries?
Is it okay for us to go, quote-unquote, defend ourselves in a situation where, like, the government is straight up like, yeah, we're sending people over there, we're killing innocent Americans? I think it's okay to for people to defend... Like, I think the number one thing you should do is, like, you know, put up more defense in your cities and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, I think it's okay to kill the politician that's doing that.
Well, if you want to do that with
innocent
your own
people
money,
just because they happen to live in that town. But yeah, that's the thing; it doesn't happen like that.
Yeah,
so
if you wanted
we're
to go
just talking
and hire,
theoretically.
If you wanted to hire mercenaries to go after these politicians you're talking about, and you know, voluntarily fund that, that's on you. Then at least I can keep my hands clean because I don't believe that violence solves problems.
Well, thank you so much for your call. It brought us some interesting
good questions. I appreciate that.
And at first I thought he was going to, you know, get all rude or something, but no, really didn't seem to at all.
Fine call.
Good call. Good questions. We also have Chuck from Washington. You're on Free Talk Live, Chuck. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I called originally when I dialed the number here. I was thinking about some things about my observations made about policing in America, but your last anonymous caller made me think about some things about the Operation Iraqi Freedom and 9/11 and all these things. I just want to remind people that there was nobody involved in the 9/11 hijacking that was from Iraq.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
And there's Saudi Arabian nationals mm-hmm. that were involved in that. And it had to do with a terrorist network called Al-Qaeda. You might want to look at that, America. Remember that name?
Yeah, you remember. Anyway, you know the one they funded back in the day?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Al-Qaeda is it means the list. That's the actual translation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Osama bin Laden and his associates' way of keeping track of all the people, the jihadis that fought against the Russians in Afghanistan. So when they would receive medical treatment and everything like that, they would write their name down on a list, and that's what became Al-Qaeda.
Wow.
They would,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that background either.
So the policing in America would, like, it's really different depending on where you're at. If you're in Alabama or, like, a poor area, I feel like there's a lot more gangsterism in play in the policing in those communities.
Yeah, I could agree with that. My cousin's going through some crazy stuff right now in Alabama, and has in the past. Yeah,
was this person involved in that city that has like a bunch of traffic checkpoints that tries to hook people up?
I don't know. It's Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I probably shouldn't get into her situation.
Hold on. What is the city that you're talking about? They try to hook people up?
Well, it's in one of these poverty-stricken areas of Alabama, and I've seen it in Missouri, too, the DUI checkpoints along I-44 and all this stuff, you know. I mean, real questionable police actions, and it would all depend on what the local attorneys want to, like, opine on and what the sheriff is doing and what the – it's really – Kind of shady. I mean, it really is.
Well, there's a ton of shady stuff that goes on out there, and you know the reason why it happens in poor neighborhoods is because they know that they can get away with it in those places because they don't have the resources they need to hire attorneys to defend themselves. I mean, that's happening all across the United States and probably in other countries as well.
Well, so if it's happening in one city in Alabama, there's probably a couple of different cities that are this kind of practice is, you know, it's like a police. They show up and sometimes not even a uniform. You know, they have these guys that'll just show up and say, "Yeah, we're with the police," and then come up with some accusations or some suspicions about criminal activity, and then hook you up, take your car like you were getting into earlier.
Okay, I was wondering what you meant when you said hook you up. By that, do you mean like put on hooks and they got you?
No, hook you up with hook you up with a problem in the criminal justice system.
Okay, gotcha. Yes. Gotcha. Yeah. Now, this isn't just some sort of, you know, small town thing or whatever. This goes on all across the country, dude. The thing you're describing is common. I mean, this is
El Paso has a
typical
A checkpoint thing you have to drive through. I've been through it many times.
Oh, and they have DUI checkpoints all over the place.
Oh, just DUI? I thought you meant immigration.
If you're talking about immigration, that is a whole other story. But
those are really bad.
Yeah. Out here on the West Coast, you don't really see that too much because of the politics of everything.
You don't see DUI checkpoints, you mean?
No, not at all.
Hmm.
You might have one of these things where you get into a small town in Hickville over in Washington State, you know, and then you're driving down the road there and then somebody pulls you over because they think your headlight's out. Oh, well, what have you been doing tonight? You know,
interestingly, there is actually court precedent. City of Seattle versus Messiani, Washington State, has made DUI checkpoints unconstitutional decades ago.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
When I was in Utah one time, my cousin, the same cousin, actually, that I was just referencing, and I got pulled over in my car. She was actually driving my car with me in it. And the cop was like, so I noticed that you have a tail light out, and so I just wanted to make sure you're okay. It was so weird, and we, like, were just like, yeah,
ridiculous.
We're fine. We're just going to... But then we went home, and my tail light was not out.
Oh,
so
the old lie.
Yep.
Yeah, he wasn't checking on to see if you were okay. He wanted
checking
to see if he could get you arrested
something.
For something. Also, Oregon, it is also unconstitutional. It is against their constitution to have a DUI checkpoint in Oregon, so that's why you don't see them.
I've actually never been through one of those anywhere I've lived.
I've been through them, but I've been through them on purpose.
Well, thank you for your time.
Hey, thanks for the call, man.
I
appreciate it.
Thank you for taking phone calls.
Yeah, interesting.
I
didn't know that Oregon and Washington made them illegal. Makes me wonder, you know, how many states they are prohibited and how many they are allowed. Because they've happened out here in New Hampshire, and it's federal money, by the way, that goes to fund these DUI checkpoints. It's not just the cops doing this on their own volition or with local tax dollars. It's federal tax dollars, your federal tax dollars, that are going to fund police departments doing DUI checkpoints. And what they determined after the Free Staters went out on multiple occasions, usually in Manchester, and the Free Staters got signs like letting people know, hey, DUI checkpoint ahead, turn here. You know, you can avoid the checkpoint if you turn now. The Free Staters would go out and actually like kind of interdict the checkpoints and basically make them completely pointless because, you know, people would turn away.
Yeah.
The cops finally said, you know what, we're going to stop doing these, I think, in New Hampshire.
How could it possibly be constitutional at all under the Fourth Amendment?
I think it probably just wasn't challenged.
Yeah.
So these other states had court cases in regards to that, and maybe some didn't, some haven't.
So weird. It's like, in Utah, I lived in a really small town, so I was, like, nonstop getting involved with the cops, and to the point where they were like, we'll kick you off the military base you live on. One of the reasons that I moved, I mean, I wanted to move too, but helped kick me in the butt to get me out of there. And then when I moved to San Antonio, I never, ever got pulled over by a cop ever, and the only time I ever even had to deal with cops were my ghetto things, like my sister attacking me, I called the cops, and then my roommate calling the cops because of stupid, petty stuff. Like, I could have went all of San Antonio if I wasn't surrounded by ghetto people sometimes without ever involving myself with cops. Like, I've never been in a checkpoint or anything like that. So, in a way, it's like, I can see how some people can go their whole lives without even knowing what the cops are about. Just like, oh, those are just the cops that deal with criminals, right? Like, I don't know.
Just a quick glance here. According to findlaw.com, presuming the list is up to date, it looks like the supermajority of states' DUI checkpoints are completely legal. So it's a very small minority of states that have them either outlawed or are against the Constitution.
What do you think? Have you ever been in a DUI checkpoint? Do you think that they should be completely constitutionally illegal? Do you think the cops are good or bad people or just a mix? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News update. One cabinet member may have his salary cut if House Republicans get their way.
House Republicans are proposing an amendment to slash Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas' salary to $1, intensifying pressure on him for the southern border migrant crisis. This move represents the latest GOP effort concerning the administration's handling of the surging migrant crisis impacting sanctuary cities like New York and Chicago. I'm John Schaefer.
The Secretary of the Navy is blaming Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville for aiding and abetting rival regimes around the world. This in reference to Tuberville's ongoing holdup of key U.S. military promotions.
This is having a real negative impact and will continue to have a real negative impact on our combat readiness. And that's what the American people truly need to understand.
Navy Secretary Carlos Del Toro speaking on Fox News. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Live talk radio that you control. The number to call in to get on the air with us is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
It's Ian.
And I'm just going to go right to the phones. We have Major Payne calling from Michigan. What's on your mind, Major?
Well, I'm just thinking about how the police target their victims.
Yep.
I mean, here in Michigan, we use a lot of roadside. And if you're not affluent, by the time a car's 10 years old or so, and you can actually afford it, there's going to be some rust holes and whatnot in it, you know?
Oh, from the salt, yeah.
Well, I mean, you can pick up something 30 years old out of Arizona that, other than being sandblasted by the desert, looks beautiful. But that's not the case around here. But anyway, if you're driving something that looks like a hoopty, they're going to pull you over. And
makes sense.
If there's ever any fruit from their ventures, I mean, I remember one time up here, I think for 10 years, every month I bet you I'd get pulled over 3 times.
Oh, my gosh.
And as the kids say, sooner or later they're going to catch you riding dirty. when they're hitting you that often. You know, whether it's just having two beers or, you know, smoking a hooter or whatever.
And that should really be a crime. But for whatever reason, people agree to pay taxes to fund this gang group of people that call themselves cops, to go pull people over, hoping to find something like a pipe in their car or like a beer after work.
Well, plus it's just total BS that these people call themselves servants. I mean, they don't behave like servants; they behave like masters. And if I was going to hire somebody to serve me in the area of being intoxicated, right? Because I don't think people should be intoxicated driving places. That sounds pretty dangerous.
What about just smoking weed?
Yeah, I don't think that's a problem, personally. I think maybe
isn't
for some people it could be. No, I don't know. I mean, maybe by definition, but I think intoxication has to be detectable in some sort of way. Like, you have to be worse at doing the thing that you're doing and worse to the point of, you know, it's a danger, in my opinion. But if I wanted to hire someone to be my servant in that way and, you know, do something to interdict me if I was being irresponsible like that, then I would have them do something more compassionate rather than throwing someone in a jail cell and possibly ruining their life with criminal charges. They could just simply take that person home. You know, and this is, by the way, something that, as I understand it, they used to do back in the day. Some police would actually pull somebody over for DUI or whatever, and they would drive that person home. Like, that's actual service. That's what somebody who is a peace officer would do. That is not what they do today, though.
Instead, there's just no due process, and people who haven't actually done anything to hurt anyone else get taken to jail just because they're assumed to be drunk or whatever. But, Major, I think you had some specific stories you wanted to tell about this process.
Well, the one time I actually got cut a deal by the cops, I was only a teenager. They caught a few of us out back of the arcade smoking some dope. And, you know, not real hardcore dope, just marijuana.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they come rolling up and who's got the drugs and yada, yada, yada. Well, I had like a quarter ounce or something. They made me dump it out and kick it around and whatnot. Well, you know, and then they took off and left us alone. So that was cool. And most of it was bud. So we came back with a flashlight about half an hour later and got half of it back anyway. But I was probably in my early 20s. An old man had had a stroke on backing out of his driveway and his leg locked up. So he's full throttle up the neighbor's driveway, through his backyard, blew through his fence, and took out a cinder block garage on the next block. So I'm on my way out to clean up the mess, and I'd already completed one job that day. So it was like 5:30. I'm driving down, I think it was 96, and I had a joint in my mouth, wasn't even lit, and I could not find a match to save my life. So I'm running around through my army jacket and whatnot, looking for a match, and I look over, and there's a state trooper right next to me, just eyeing me like a hawk.
With the joint in your mouth.
And were you in the process, like, actually driving, or were you parked looking for it?
I'm bouncing down the E-way.
Damn.
So anyway, he pulls me over, and I just grab the joint out of my mouth real casual as he's sliding behind me, reach over my seat, and drop that joint behind my seat. Well, I had all kinds of gear back there. He never could find the joint. But I had a cracked beer between my legs, which I'd only had like two swallows out of, so all he could write me up for was an open intox.
Okay.
But I also had a over-legal length knife on my hip. Because I knew I was going down to a back alley in Detroit, and you never know what's going to happen down there after dark.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, just trying to be prepared for the situation, I tried to explain it for this judge, because the cop gave me my choice. He says, well, I can write you up for the knife or the beer. And my dumb ass, I took the knife instead of the beer. I should have took the beer. But she threw me in a hooskow for 30 days, because she just couldn't understand how I might have been threatened after dark, in the middle of the ghetto, is the only white boy there.
That's pretty dumb. A certain length of knife is worse than another. I mean, if you had, like, a butter knife, you'd be fine.
No, 3.5 inches is what the legal limit is for a lock blade, at least here in Michigan. And theoretically, it has to be a little longer than that to hit your heart.
Well, good to know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, the cops up here, when you get into the small towns, they have to criminalize the populace just to justify their existence. And down there in Wayne County, I mean, there is a buttload of people and a buttload of crime. And if they just wanted to get off their arses and do their jobs, they wouldn't have to harass the populace to make their quota.
Yep, that's true.
I mean, you want to protect and serve? Well, start with the damn serving part. Get out of the donut shop. Go do something.
Yeah, I mean, that is a really good point, and thank you for your call, Major Payne.
Go after some real criminals.
Just the point that cops, in order to pay all of them, they need more criminals.
That's true.
Things need to be criminalized. The regular person driving down the street who just has a knife, going to work, and a joint, and an open beer can, isn't really a criminal, or isn't a criminal at all,
in my opinion.
There's no victim there.
No victim, no crime.
But the cops have to make things like that criminal in order to justify getting paid. Going on with the phones, we have Dave Ridley on the line. What's on your mind, Ridley?
Yeah, a wildly different topic.
Okay, let's hear it.
So I'm always looking for any excuse I can to talk about the nuclear threat that we're under right now, the Cuban Missile Crisis 2.0. Like, it's in its 14th month, it's more like the 18th month since the Ukraine invasion.
Mm-hmm. Is there something new?
So what's interesting is, I guess, the presidential candidate.
Vivek Ramaswamy?
I think it's Vivek, I believe is how it's pronounced, I'm not sure. Yeah, so anyway, apparently he has a plan that he has been talking about for ending the Ukraine war, and it's so brilliant because it's simple, and I've never thought of this, but what he's pushing is the following. Ceasefire, the current line of control becomes the new border. The Ukraine does not join NATO. That becomes kind of set in stone, but Russia ends its alliance with China.
Okay.
So this is what Putin is proposing,
no,
or
it's
Ukraine?
Vivek.
Oh. Okay.
The U.S. presidential candidate, Vivek.
Okay, well, what is he going to do about it? I mean, he can't tell them to agree to that.
Well, if he gets elected, he can. Sort of.
Okay, he can tell, like, Ukraine, you won't get any more money if you don't agree to this or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just don't know that I can trust that some guy who, came out of nowhere, he's just in the pharmacy business, he has a fake country accent, he is only 5'7", can just go and get elected president of the United States and tell Putin and Zelensky, well, he's also short, what to do. I just don't really believe that any presidential candidate is going to be better than the other at this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's great or he's going to have, I'm not saying he's going to do it, but it's a good idea.
Well, it'd be great if one of, Putin or Zelensky came out with, that's why I was actually pretty interested at first, because I guess I missed that you were saying this is the VIX thing. It'd be interesting if either Putin or Zelensky were,
can you turn that down?
We're coming up with some kind of a peace agreement. That would be interesting.
Yeah. As I understand it, Ridley, the Ukraine guy does not want to cede any territory to Russia, so this would probably be a non-starter for him, and I suspect Putin is not going to want to end any of his alliances, so my guess is this is not going to go anywhere, even if he was able to make a proposition like that.
Well, here's why it might work, and that is the Russians don't do well with alliances with China, right? It's never worked in the past, and they have to kind of they get treated like a vassal state currently in the situation that they're in. So there's a strong motive for the Russians to end that. It's also if you stop and think about it, it creates a sort of a tripolar world instead of a bipolar world.
What's the reason they would want to end that? I mean, they are currently in an alliance with China. It's called BRICS. They probably have other agreements as well. I mean, they're in a club together right now, and seems to be going fine for them. In fact, they've just had dozens of countries, as I understand, at least like two dozen countries. I've heard as many as 40 have applied for membership. They've added six more within just the last few weeks at their recent summit.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say exactly, but the main thing is that they have not done well in the war in Ukraine, and they are looking for a way out. And this would be it. It would also essentially solve the nuclear threat for a while, because it would make it very difficult for China to invade Taiwan. Russia is just much closer to being a natural ally of the United States. It's a little too strong of a word, but that kind of thing. It's much closer to being workable with the United States than China is. And that's one of the things the U.S. gets out of it is a less hostile Russia.
Well, I don't think there's any harm in trying the proposal. I mean, it can't hurt to put it forward. However, if it doesn't work out, then the appropriate thing to do is to butt out and stop sending money and arms or whatever, any kind of support over to any side. It's none of our business.
Yeah.
Is that all you have today, Ridley?
That is all.
Thank you for your call.
And it's 603-283-6160. If you'd like to call in and get in on any conversation, bring up something that's on your mind, or talk about something we're already talking about. But for now, Ian has a story about Japan and how people don't want to go on dates, so they're having their parents do it for them.
Yeah, I don't even know if they're having their parents do it for them. I think it's their parents are just doing it. The story is from CNN out of Tokyo, where it's a steamy summer afternoon in the Japanese city of Osaka, where a group of around 60 men and women have gathered for a session of omai, or matchmaking, to find true love. They mingle away, hopping from one end of the conference room at the Sakai Chamber of Commerce building to another as they assess potential matches and the competition. But this is no ordinary speed dating event. Few of the participants are talking about their favorite hobbies, movies, or restaurants, or indeed even about themselves. They're talking about their grown-up, still single children who they're hoping to match up and marry off.
Well, with their permission, at least?
That's not really clear. One woman in her 60s speaks proudly of her 34-year-old son, a public elementary school teacher. A man in his 80s talks affectionately about his career-minded son, who's 49, who works as a controller at an electric company. Each of the parents has forked out about $96, or 14,000 yen, to attend this event.
Whoa, that's a lot.
No, it's not. $96?
To go to a speed dating? Shouldn't that just be something going on at a bar?
Yeah.
I've never went to one. I've never even heard of one actually happening.
People pay a lot of money to go and try and get a date somewhere, right? Like $100 doesn't seem too crazy.
You can just get on, like, some website for, you know.
They're going to charge you $100 for a year subscription or whatever.
I don't know if those, like, eHarmony ones cost money, so.
They do. Hosted by the matchmaking agency Association of Parents Marriage Proposal Information. Sorry, I've left out an of. Association of Parents of Marriage Proposal Information. That is the name of the matchmaking agency.
Maybe it makes more sense in Japan or Japanese.
And they're hoping to meet someone just like them, a parent whose still single daughter or son might be the perfect match for their own lonesome child.
Let me just think about this out loud. Like, how many people's parents really know them well enough to choose a mate for them? Like, I don't think that my parents could do it. My mom would be like, oh, he's such a nice boy, Bonnie. Like, if I wasn't married to you, obviously. My parents, I just don't think that they would
end up with terrible choices.
My dad would be like, this guy is great. He plays this sport. My dad doesn't like country.
Oh, he doesn't? Okay,
well, they don't listen to country music. And then my mom would be like, oh, he's such a nice boy. And he's, like, totally weird and autistic and silent.
So they never set you up with anybody ever? Like, this has never happened to you?
Not... I don't think my parents ever tried to set me up with anyone.
What about like a sister or something?
When I worked on Dugway Proving Ground, a lot of the Mormons, like when I worked at the bank especially, a lot of the older Mormons I worked with would be like, oh, you would love my son, which is weird because they knew I wasn't Mormon, but I guess they weren't that serious about it.
They thought they might convert you.
Maybe, yeah. But
listen, if you want to stay with my son, you're going to have to convert.
I remember my mom actually doing it to my older sister once.
Setting her up with someone? It was pretty funny.
Well, she tried to. She was like, you would love this boy that goes to our church. And it was somebody that I know, even I knew, what Julie would absolutely not like him or date him or anything like that. He was a really nice guy, but not like somebody my sister would get along with.
Yeah, I think you make a good point here, Bonnie, that this is probably doomed to fail.
Yeah.
As far as this system, but you know, this association exists, and they probably have some success stories, right? Like, what dating company is not going to have success stories that they can point to say, oh, I met my wife on this system, and we are still together 10 years later, right? They all have that stuff, so there probably are some parents who have successfully managed to bring their socially awkward son together with their socially awkward, this other people's socially awkward daughter, and they can have autistic babies together or whatever. There probably are some stories about that. Now, it would be more interesting to know how many successes versus failures they have, because I suspect the majority of them are going to be failures for exactly the reason that you're specifying, is that these people, I mean, this guy they're talking about here is 49 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, that's that is not, I wonder if he's still living at home.
Just think about it. If you're the type of person who your parents are out there paying $90 to go to a speed dating event just to get you a date, you're probably really weird. I just got to assume.
Well, and we've talked before.
And you've agreed to it.
Yeah, well, and that's a question we don't really know
if
that's the case here. But we have talked before about Japan and the situation that they found themselves in there with young people, and I guess 49 is considered young when you compare them to 80-year-olds, but, you know, younger people not going out on dates, not having any interest in finding a mate for their life, not having any interest in having children, all of these things together are very, very common. And so what you're seeing happen in Japan is the what they call the replacement rate is not happening.
Yeah, I think it was Ernie's our Monday night host. He said that, I think it was him, said that they're selling more adult diapers than baby diapers in Japan.
Oh, God. It sounds believable.
Hmm.
I mean, that may be a joke or not, but I don't know. But it does sound believable because they're having fewer babies and even fewer than in the United States. Now, the U.S. is also apparently below replacement rate, as I understand. I'll have to go pull up the chart. So the replacement rate is the number of babies any given, I think it's couple, has, if I recall correctly. And if you're below two, then that is below the replacement rate, right?
Because if you're not replacing yourself?
Exactly.
You'll get old and
You're going to get older and die, and you've only had one kid, so now there's one fewer of your family, right? So there were two, now there's one. So in order for the replacement rate to be growing, it has to be above two. And there was a time in America where it was, right? Like your typical, what they called it, nuclear family was a man, a woman, and two children. And of course, there were some families that had more, and it averaged out to be where there were more children than there were parents. But now that's been changing in this country, and it's worse in Japan. I believe Japan is one of the worst in the world. So they have a real problem where the young people in Japan don't want to actually, like, have relationships. They don't want to have kids. And so, therefore, there's literally a booming elderly population and not enough young people to even take care of them.
Japan a place where they've ever had, like, arranged marriages? Was that ever a normal thing there?
I don't know. I suspect it was, but I don't know.
Because I'm wondering if it's, like, oh, it's kind of normal for my parents to choose who I marry, so it's not, like, weird. They don't need permission.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. That would be a question for maybe somebody out there that could answer that at 603-283-6160. So let's go on. So it's not that Japan, a notoriously work-obsessed nation where time is at a premium, hasn't tried out the more direct approach to speed dating where the youngsters do it for themselves.
The youngsters.
It's more that leaving the young to do it doesn't seem to be working. With rising living costs, poor economic prospects, and the demanding work culture conspiring against them, fewer Japanese today are opting to get married and have children. Their parents, alarmed at their diminishing chances of grandchildren, are stepping in. Of course, that's what it's all about, right? Is like, you gotta have the grandchildren, the obsession that everybody's obligated to have children just so their parents can be happy. Now, look, crazy. I am somebody who is childless. Bonnie, you are as well. I got a vasectomy in my early 20s because I was certain then, and still am now. Well, it's yeah, that'd be weird.
I thought you weren't going to hear me.
Yeah. but, you know, that's a whole different story than the entirety of a society. I'm not somebody who says everybody shouldn't have children. Look, have all the kids you want. I don't care what you do. And most people are called to this. Most people have an immense drive to reproduce. Whatever that is, I don't understand it personally. That's just how I am. But most people are, and so people keep having babies, and that's the way the species continues, and, you know, good for them. But in Japan, it's become a problem.
Is this because they're laying flat, or is that China?
Laying flat?
So it's like this idea that the younger generation is now, like, we've always been forced to be really good at working, work really hard, mm-hmm. get everything, get good grades and everything. But we just want to have a job that's more relaxed. We just are going to lay flat and not work until that's the idea.
So they're not as enthusiastic as previous generations about working.
Yeah, they'll even like not have a job for as long as possible to just
to live off of whatever they got. Yeah, I think
I don't know if it's Japan or China.
True. I think it's probably true there. So they're saying that fewer Japanese are getting married and fewer having children. The parents are now stepping in. The company's director, Noriko Miyagoshi, who's been organizing matchmaking events for almost 2 decades, said the idea that it's okay for parents to help their children get married in this way has become more widespread. In the past, people might have been ashamed of coming to these events, she said, but times have changed. The same forces that are driving these parents to the Osaka conference room have been playing havoc with the demographics of the world's third biggest economy. In Japan today, there are fewer marriages, fewer births, and fewer people. The population has long been on a downward trajectory, and in the year up to January, according to government data, it suffered a record plunge of 800,000 people. So 800,000 fewer people exist today than 1 year ago prior to January. So 800,000 people died in a year, and there weren't enough people to replace them.
Well, I just know that I'd be really good at a company like this if I owned a matchmaking company. I just know that I'd be really good at it. And if you want relationship advice from me, 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Donald Trump warned America. The U.S. dollar is under attack, and it's becoming less and less valuable by the day. Hyperinflation and speculation is killing your retirement. Don't leave your money sitting in cash. It's time you diversified and protected your future with physical precious metals. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and get your free digital dollar survival kit and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver today. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 to get your free digital dollar survival kit. And you may qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Advantage Gold is the number one rated gold and silver company in America. Your future is precious. Protect it today when you call Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
That's 800-900-8000.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.